Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Howdy, hour number two. Hour number two, Tiki and Tierney coming to you live from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage on this Wednesday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, radio.com, YouTube channel. Just type it in. You'll find all of our content. And Chris Long, two-time NFL champ, is with us and cool enough to kick it out for another segment here. And you really are. When we were talking during the break, he really is a huge NBA fan.
I do like the NBA. I mean, how big an NBA fan can I be when I'm a Knicks fan?
Well, that's my plight as well.
We got the same issue here. Yeah. You know, I did
actually,
tell you.
Actually, some could say we're bigger NBA fans than most because we stick it out.
Yeah, we have more stamina.
Yeah, we do.
How did you become a Knicks fan? I mean, you grew up in Charlottesville.
Honestly, yeah, growing up in Charlottesville, there was no real basketball team, so I kind of split between the Hornets. I like the Hornets because, you know, I like their, you know, grandmama and all that.
Larry Johnson, yeah. Alonzo Mourning.
Muggsy Bogues. Like, that was a fun time. That's the pinstripe Hornets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Steph Curry's dad was on that team.
Yep. Dell, yeah. But at some point, I had to make a decision. And for me, I gave Ty went to the team with the orange and blue colors and the multitude of tough guys.
Oh, yeah.
I just love the 90s Knicks. Yep. Who didn't? And, man, what a far cry.
No, that makes sense. All right, Chalk Media is your new endeavor that's debuting tomorrow on YouTube. Now, I'm reading this thing. It says you can real-time interact. So when this airs, you'll be on social media?
Like, I mean,
accepting?
I generally am pretty interactive with my followers.
Always, anyway.
I don't say fans because, like, social media, I run my social media like I wasn't a verified person. Like, if I was, you know, not an athlete, this is how I would use Twitter.
Gotcha.
And so I think some people like that interactive piece, and we're going to try to embed that in most of the things we do.
Yeah.
Just try to bring the fans in and make a community of it. So, yeah, I mean, YouTube.
That's a dangerous invitation there, Mr. Long.
Yeah,
it's good, but it's dangerous.
Yeah, well, okay. We'll see.
I got you.
It's all dangerous.
It could be. If you don't have somebody, if they, you know. So wait, so you'll be doing the show and you'll just be seeing things pop up and you'll just address them in real time.
Well, no. So the show tomorrow is just Fishbowl. Fishbowl is going to be, you know, we'll definitely check feedback and I'll talk to fans about what they saw in the interview, but we'll have stuff that's more directly, you know, responsive to fans' commentary and whatnot, but tomorrow won't be that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not ready to work that hard this early.
The man came before the last CBA.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to work that hard.
It's all good.
It's going to be your hashtag
it's
now.
It's all good.
Old CBA.
Yeah, right?
Second overall pick. So you played with a few teams. The now Los Angeles Rams. They're not in St. Louis any longer, obviously. The Patriots, we won a Super Bowl, and the Philadelphia Eagles. The last two are interesting for a lot of different reasons. One, Philly feels like they're forever trying to make Carson Wentz the guy.
He is the guy. You disagree?
I mean, Nick Foles is the guy.
Stop.
No.
Carson Wentz is the guy.
Listen, the guy. But you tell he's got, he's ha- he has to. Like, I feel he's in this weird spot, like really weird spot, because if he doesn't ever win a Super Bowl, then he's the guy on a team that the legend is someone else.
I understand it's
an odd like situation.
And it's odd for me to talk about because, listen, there's no way we're in that position to get home field and give Nick an opportunity to get feet under him that season. And listen, Carson was MVP quality play that year. And this year, I know people don't want to hear it and they call me a homer. Like, believe me, if you knew everything, you wouldn't call me a homer. Like, Carson, to me, is doing a lot with a lot of drops, injuries. He threw two game-winning... Age on the offensive line. I still think the O-line... I think the O-line's one of the best in the league still. But he threw two game-winning touchdown passes in Atlanta and Detroit, respectively. They're dropped. You know, like, he could easily have this team...
No, I hear you.
You know, the defense and the coverage is more the issue right now. Carson does things off schedule as good as anybody.
So we're buying Carson.
I buy Carson all day.
100%.
He's special, man. And if you see him, you know, working up close, he is really special. And Nick's special, too, which is going to be interesting to see how Jacksonville handles it. I think Nick should go back and start, but that's just
What if they rip off a few more wins? You got to pull Gardner Minshew if they're winning?
I like Gardner Minshew. This is like the whole conversation. If I don't put a quarterback in my top five, I'm taking a dump on him. Like, no, I like Gardner Minshew. I just think the guy who went on that run in Philly, who mm-hmm. I played with and saw up close, he gives you the best chance to win offensively. But Gardner's been great. But that team wins with complementary football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Gardner, with time, is going to develop into a really strong option at quarterback to be a starter.
We're talking to Chris Long, who's with us in the studio, two-time NFL champ, of course, went to Virginia like Teague. So I'm always curious, you know, and we've had former and current Pats on. They never give us the real answer. They're all full of it. So I want the real answer about the Pats now. I mean, is it fun playing for the Pats? Like, you're walking through the hallway, you see Belichick.
Yeah.
Does he say hi? Does he crack a joke?
So people have it all wrong. Like, the things that aren't fun up there to me are, you know, the sun goes down early. There's no windows in the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. I need that sunlight, you know? I don't know if I have seasonal affective disorder. I'm not joking about that disorder.
You're not.
Maybe I have it.
Chris, there's a gland. You have a pineal gland in your eye that doesn't get sunlight. Yes, you get depressed.
Man. Serious,
that's
guy.
Where sad comes from.
wow.
But I would just...
good pull, Teak.
But New England, I think some of the best teammates...
Crack open some windows, dude.
Don't... You guys can't cut me off when I just say... The sunlight sucks. The lighting sucks in Foxborough. But I had some of the best teammates I ever had, yep. from McCourty to Hightower to Ninkovich to, you know, Amendola there that year. Down to the franchise quarterback, the GOAT, Tom Brady, who treats everybody with respect in the building.
But
Bill's funny.
Is he?
He's
really
very dry and funny, and I'm dry.
Yeah.
So I loved, like, and the effect of, like, when you hear him tell a joke
mm-hmm.
or, like, make a joke, like, it hits harder than if another coach
Wait,
that's
so
always
does
trying
he
to...
know that is he funny when
sometimes,
he makes
intentionally, but, sometimes unintentionally.
But when he makes a joke and it's not funny, does he not know that it's not funny?
He's not a guy he's not going to take big chances. When you're dry, you know, he's not making dad jokes.
He's going for singles and doubles.
Singles and doubles. He's hitting for average.
Yeah, gotcha.
He's not.
But it's enjoyable. But here's the other thing. This is the football side of it that I've always, like, guessed or assumed. He's like the master of minutia. It's like the little things.
Yes.
Right, situational football. You're not going to make a mistake on a play that potentially is going to cost us the game. Offense, defense, special teams, doesn't matter. All of that is locked up tight. Whereas every other coach, I feel like, is like, yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah. Well, you go over it in a team meeting. Remember, don't do this if this happens. Like, they don't practice it.
No. It's foundational with Bill. I mean, and Bill, I always say this, he can walk around the field, and he would walk in a circle and coach each position better than the position coach.
That's crazy.
And
wow.
that makes him unique, save for the offensive line coach, Scar, who's the best in the league and one of the best in history. And another thing that I think is that, you know, the Patriot way, it's like a culture people talk about. Like, yeah, it's a culture. It helps to have Tom Brady. But, like, the culture that he's instilled is situational football. He knows every situation front and back, like nuanced. He knows all the positions. He's one of the few coaches that sits with the offense and defense, the whole team with the lights off on mm-hmm. Monday, and he's going to break the film down with everybody in the room.
Wait, so you watch the whole game together?
He's a complete wow. – he's a football coach. And wow. I think the main thing that's made them who they are, and we're talking from Super Bowl 1-6, they're different teams each time. You know, they can morph from an offensive football team to a defensive football team to a spread team to a power running team like last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
then
true.
They run the ball up the Chargers. You know what?
Yeah.
And they do it to the Chiefs, and they're in 21 personnel in the tight end sets this year. No Gronk, no Devlin. They'll figure out a way.
Yeah.
And that's what makes them great.
Well, let me challenge you. They'll figure out a way.
They haven't not figured out a way to this point.
No, I'm not talking about the history, not the historical context. Right now, middle of October, moving forward, a lot of injuries, right?
Mm-hmm. Still undefeated, BT.
No doubt. I'm not trying to say they are right now the best team in football. I'm not trying to say that they're not, but I do see some areas
I think the Saints are the best team in football.
Fair enough. Some areas of vulnerability. You know, again, it was a character win, but if they don't block that punt against the Bills, they lose that game.
No mm-hmm. doubt about it.
I don't know.
Situational football.
Situational football is amazing.
I got one.
Do they have enough offense to win?
Do you remember what happened last year to them in, I think, weeks 3 and 4.
They're always bad in September. That's his worst month.
The way they talk about things is September and October is one season, mm-hmm. and then November and December is when the real season starts.
He actually says that to the team?
I mean, that's well, it's the message.
I got you.
The message is, like, it's not like it doesn't matter what happens, but what matters is what happens in November and December. And September and October, you're figuring out who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like another evaluation. He never missed an opportunity to evaluate. And last year they lost to, I believe it was Jacksonville. They got drugged by mm-hmm. Jacksonville down, and you're thinking, Jacksonville is going to be in the Super Bowl again. You know, last year, week two, we got the brakes beat off us by the Bucs, and we're a play or two away from playing for the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Then the next week, New England goes and loses to Detroit.
Sunday night.
Yep.
Yep.
A couple years ago, they get their butts kicked in Tampa in 16 or 17 when they go to the Super Bowl and lose to us in Philly. There's always those games that are going to make you say early on, and by the way, Tom's historically not been his best in Buffalo. When you look at his worst rating games, mm-hmm. a lot of them are in Buffalo. And it's just a matchup thing, man. Like, they're working through a lot.
And now they're undefeated working through whatever it is they're working through.
And they already played in Buffalo.
That's right.
They won that game.
Exactly.
So, I mean, when you watch Brady, do you see a diminished athlete? You have to see a little bit of
attrition. Diminished athlete? I mean, like, athletically.
Mean the 40. I mean throwing the football, the willingness to stand in the pocket.
I'm sure he's willing to stand in the pocket. And I'm no quarterback expert, but I would say, like, he might not be the guy who was setting records in the Randy Moss era mm-hmm. there. I mean, like, he would probably tell you he's not the same guy physically. But the guy is just brilliant. And he's the guy that, like, if you're coaching a young quarterback, like, do what he does. Like, know what he knows. Like, treat your teammates the way he treats them. You know, leadership, the whole nine
yards. And
there's
something to that, right?
There is something to that. It's the reason why Dak, who, again, just because I'm saying he's not top five, doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback. But that's the reason why Dak, he might not be a top five quarterback, but I believe in Dak, which might be a hot take. Because he's got leadership, he's got toughness.
He treats his guys right.
And guys rally around that. And I'm not comparing Tom and Dak. What I'm saying is there are certain quarterbacks that have that intangible, and when you happen to be the GOAT and you still have that intangible,
mm-hmm.
and also this team is quite possibly a defensive team right now.
No question. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But their kicking game is a mess, and historically they win a lot of tight games with either Vinatieri or Gostkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Nugent was on the street for a reason.
That's a big deal. The loss of the fullback is a big deal.
Yep.
I know everybody talked about Gronk, but I think the loss of Devlin could prove to be a bigger deal, the win loss, the Andrews loss. I thought they would make a move by now and go get a tackle. I know Trent didn't actually mm-hmm. end up in Cleveland,
nope.
did he?
No.
I've always thought that would be a good move for them. O.J. Howard might be a good move in the passing game.
Tight end.
Kind of rotting in
Tampa
Bay. Yeah,
Tampa. He's not getting the ball. I don't know what's going on there.
But, yeah, I think.
What about A.J. Green?
I like A.J. Green. Cleveland
Injuries.
Said they won't move him.
Yeah.
I like A.J. Green. Or
you mean Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. I like A.J. Green to either to San Francisco, or I like Keenan Allen to San Francisco.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how many movement is happening all the time these days in football? It used to never happen.
Yeah.
When I was in the league, and even when your early years, trade? That's not going to work. It's not worth it. Now it's like, okay, we got a piece we can get. Let's go get it now and plug it in right now.
There's schools of thought that are like the draft picks. There's no guarantee you can even pick well with the draft picks. But, you know, it's interesting how we evaluate trades, because there's the Mac trade, which was like mm-hmm. Gruden was a meme for.
Yeah.
But does Chicago win if they don't win the Super Bowl? Is that because that's a win now move? Like, do you win that trade if you don't win the Super Bowl?
Well, you certainly didn't win when you actually played the Raiders 2 weeks ago in London. Right. They ran it right down Mac's throat.
Well, hey, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. They ran the ball down. down the Bears' throat, and they got the play action going, and they threw a multitude of looks at Mac. But, yeah, I mean, like, for Gruden and Mayock, who's done a great job there as well, I got to shout my boy out, mm-hmm. like, they had to feel like, hey, maybe we didn't win the trade, but that guy we got at 24 ran for 100 yards.
Yep. Yep.
You know, we've got young guys
Josh Jacobs.
Well. The young DNs had a sack in the game.
Yeah, from Clemson.
Farrell.
You know, your pick from a year ago, the tackle, Hurst, played well in the Bears game.
Good, like, tight end.
I just think sometimes we get so overreactive to these trades.
Of course,
like, just
we do.
Let
That's what we do for a living. Yeah. Of course we have to overreact.
Sports radio every
That's
day.
What we do, man. All right. You got to learn that recipe.
One important family question. Your brother just got put on IR.
Yeah.
Kyle, guard for the Chicago
Bears. He probably got mad at me on the radio a couple times.
But that was your fault.
That wasn't my fault. He don't side with him just because he's his brother.
He was joking with
me. I appreciate the honesty.
He has like a I don't know Kyle as well as I know you, obviously. But he's got like a harsh sense of humor, right?
He does, but he's also like, he's a little bit
like he'll joke and like be frowning in your face like I'm going to strangle
he's
you.
He's ornery.
But I'm joking with
Listen,
you. Listen,
right? When you're a big man and you got a hammer, everything's a nail. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, conflict is king. Listen, I'm super bummed for him, man. Like, yeah. You know, it's hard in the league.
What does this mean for his career?
I don't know. It's up to him. Yeah. I mean, like, he's going to come off IR. I know that he's probably still, he's very talented.
Yep.
I didn't think he played as bad as people thought. I played bad two games, but he played pretty well the first two. But you know how the media is. They're like, you know, there's got to be a scapegoat. It's unfortunate he hadn't been able to stay healthy. And, you know, in the league, like one injury, two injuries, three injuries, they compound each other. Man, I love him. He's made Pro Bowls. He's been a fixture there. He's got a decision to make when he's off IR.
Yeah.
You know, he's a total stud. I saw him this week. I was happy to see him. I was bummed for him, but happy to see him.
Yeah, they start to create a narrative. It's a bad thing. Hopefully good things happen for him and for the rest of your family, including your pops.
Football isn't everything.
Love you, Dad.
Yeah,
he's a good dude.
Chalk Media.
A part of our lives forever, really. Yeah.
Chris Long's
new content. I'm going to give Dad a job on Chalk Media.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's premiering tomorrow on YouTube, so check it out for Chris. Chris, I never got a chance to play with you. Didn't get the chance to be your teammate in the National Football League, but there was no greater experience than hugging you, watching our Cavaliers hoist the national championship down in Minnesota last year. That was awesome.
For the next
that was awesome.
Year.
Hey, good luck to you, man.
Thanks,
this was
man.
Awesome. Thanks for hopping on.
Good actually meeting you, Chris.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man.
Likewise,
thank you.
Man.
All right, pal. We'll get a timeout. We'll do a little World Series. The Nats, last time D.C. hosted a World Series game, a couple of years after the Great Depression. 1933. Wow. We'll hit that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. A quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. A little inbounds, out of bounds coming up next. The Tiki and Tierney staple here on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, if you missed a show or you want to catch up, whatever, get it to a friend. You can always find our podcast on radio.com and the radio.com app, plus cbsportsradio.com. iTunes or really anywhere where you can get a podcast here. Download, subscribe away for free.
Chris Long,
what a great guy.
He's awesome. We were joking about his last CBA contract. $92 million. No wonder he gave away his whole salary last year, or 2 years ago, whatever it was.
He could afford to do that. Yeah. What he was drafted? Well, I know he was second overall pick.
2008 was his
Who was the first overall pick in 2008? I don't have that top of my head. Who did he? And,
that is a good.
I got to check out the 2008 draft real quick here.
Who went behind
him? I like to mess around with that.
Yeah,
2000.
Jake
Long.
He was number one. Jake Long was. It was number one overall. Matt Ryan was number three.
That's right. Matty Ice out of BC.
Yeah.
Who's that? Vernon Golston for the Jets from Ohio State. He was terrible. I knew he was terrible immediately.
I think he's the highest drafted Cavalier, I think, ever.
Well, I mean, you can't get much higher.
Well, Sean Moore and Herman Moore, I know they were. I think Herman was first round, but I don't think he was. I think it was probably like 11 or 12 or something like that. I can't remember now. No, you're right.
Darren McFadden by the Raiders. He was a decent player for a couple of years. But he was hurt. Glenn Dorsey, the big defensive tackle from LSU for the Chiefs. Golston, God. Who else jumps out here? Who's that take? Jared Mayo.
Bill Dudley. Ryan. 1942, BT. Bill Dudley from UVA went number one overall.
Did he really? In what year?
1942.
Wow.
That wasn't even like the NFL like we know it, obviously.
No, that was the Chicago Cardinals.
Herman Moore was 10.
Herman
overall.
Moore, top 10.
1991.
Let's see. Aqib Talib went 20th. Yeah, all right. So listen, you know, baseball, and there's obviously a washout today with the Yankees and the Astros. No surprise. So
Yankees canceled the game like 4 or 5 hours ago.
You know what, though? You have to because
you can't let people get there. And then,
well, not even that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a little – but they don't care about the people.
True.
Just like they don't care about – we talked about this yesterday. When you move a game and you move it up a few hours or back a few hours, you do that to pacify the networks.
We knew there wouldn't be a game five.
Yeah, and I hear you. But the – like they don't care about the 45,000 people trekking to the stadium. What they do care – is, and this is, you know, this stinks, when this has happened on occasion, but, you know, whether it's Tanaka, whether it's Greinke, whether it's Verlander, whomever, any ace, it can happen to the Nats, too, in the World Series, where you have a guy, and there's intermittent rain, and he warms up to get ready for the game.
Oh, I hear you.
And he throws his 20 pitches. He comes out, maybe he has a 20-pitch first inning as well. Then he goes, you know, somewhat laborious second inning. Now you've got a 37-minute rain delay. Now he's got to warm back up.
Yep.
That's really why they do it. Not for the people going to the stadium, not even for the networks to give them a heads up. Really, it's to be fair to the teams and the integrity of the sport.
Yeah.
But now the Nationals kick back. Congratulations to the Nationals. It's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah.
1933, last time they've had a team from that city represent.
And BT, look, how they got here is so unconventional because they trade, or not trade, but they let Bryce Harper walk, meaning they're not going to pay him what he wants to be paid this offseason. And it feels like, oh, well, there goes their chance. They're going to be in rebuild, right? That's all you heard about the Nationals. It's going to be rebuild, 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 not taking into account that they still have two of the best pitchers in baseball on their rotation. And did they have Corbin by then already?
No, they got Corbin.
So they got Corbin. Yeah, that was a big deal this offseason. But still, it's like, everybody assumes that in order to win a World Series, you got to have a star, or at least a star bat, or a difference maker, as we want to define them. But the Washington Nationals didn't take that path. And despite conventional methods of operation, when things were bad early on in the season and they were getting to the trade deadline, and it was like, just sell, 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 get rid of every, start over. They didn't make a splash, but they did get some help for their bullpen, and they went for it. And, yeah, I mean, it was tight. They barely got in. They had to play in the wild card, which they barely got through.
God, that seems like a month ago.
It does, really. But here they are in the World Series, and it's just telling, like, how important, believing in your product, even if everybody else outside of it doesn't believe in it. If you're a Nationals fan, how awesome is this?
It's phenomenal. Now, I also think that, I don't know if National fans would admit this, because right now it's completely immaterial to the conversation, but I would imagine that there's a fair amount of National fans, particularly young ones, who grew up idolizing Bryce Harper.
That's a good point.
Who lament that he's not there.
True, but if now they're in the World Series, so the energy around this team is completely, like, non-Bryce Harper focused.
They've already been proven right.
Exactly.
You know, at least for the short term.
And so as a fan, yeah, maybe it's in the back of your mind that Bryce isn't here and I don't have that guy to cheer for whose jersey I had and, you know, worshipped for a couple of years. But your team's in the World Series, man.
Listen, again, you and I grew up so differently how we view the athletes. I mean,
you're right.
It's so, I can't fully relate it to this because it was a back injury and it was a different circumstance. But, when the Yankees won the World Series in 96, as great as Tino was during the regular season, Tino Martinez, who they acquired from Seattle in a trade.
Yep. And
took over for Donnie.
Basically replaced Don Mattingly, who was BT's favorite guy.
By my all-time favorite athlete, right next to Ewing and Mully and Wesley Walker. And it was, I was like, man, how is Mattingly, who came up in 82 for a cup of coffee in 83, it just doesn't feel right. But when you're seeing your team in the middle of the diamond, you're jumping on each other, you get over it. Now, the one thing to be fair, while they made the right move, certainly in hindsight, they did go on Christmas Eve and offer Bryce Harper $300 million.
Yeah, of course.
So it's not like they didn't want him. So we absolutely have to give them credit when you start 19-31.
But they didn't compromise themselves
to get him. But what is $30 million extra at
nothing,
that point?
Nothing.
Especially spread over the 10 years that they offered.
But I think they just wanted, I felt like they were making a point. Or it was.
Or I tell you what, I think I said this at the time. I think it was a symbolic offer so that they can say, hey, you know what, Nashville fans? We offered the guy $300 million. What do you want us to do?
Right.
They saved a little face there, kept the equity with the fans. They kept their checkbook in balance. Now, these contracts are ridiculous. I mean, look at the Padres. Machado, whatever he got, at 300, I think it was 3, whatever he got,
stunk. How many times did we say his name this year? I mean, seriously.
They stunk.
How many times did we say his name?
The manager got fired. They stunk. But I still think, and Trout hasn't reached the big stage yet, but if you're a guy like Acuna, if you're a guy like a Trout, if you're somebody who impacts the game with your wheels as well, like a Bryce Harper type, That's why Stanton is a problem with this contract, because he's not running. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's obviously broken down. It's
yeah,
a diminished
return. So unless he's hitting home runs, how is he getting around?
He's a bad – now, Bryce isn't a bad outfielder. No. Stanton is slightly below average. Harper is slightly above average. But Trout is one of the best center fielders I've ever seen. And Acuna is an incredible outfielder who steals 40 bases, yeah, basically.
Yeah. The only thing
– can impact different ways.
I love Mike Trout. I really do. Yeah. We had him one time in our history on this show.
I remember
it
that.
It was like 6 years ago.
It was – he was still pretty early in his career. Yeah, I remember that.
But he was great.
Such a good kid.
He was great, good humble, kid. Awesome. He's been hurt a lot, DT.
He's had one, you know, sliding into second where he hurt his wrist.
It's every year it's
he's
something.
Had some – this one, the nerve issue is a little worrisome. You wait for a nerve to regenerate. There's no, like, 4 to 6 week timetable. Everybody's body is different. You could get cut, and, you know, you could do an Achilles or a knee or an elbow, and there's a conventional timetable based on evidence of the past, medical evidence of the past, that tells you, all right, you'll be ready for spring training.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's not going to be, but he is built on speed and explosion, and that is a little worrisome. So, still, but what the Nationals did is amazing. I just hope they don't get too stale, and they might. They're going to sit around and watch and wait for a long time.
Yeah, because you got to believe just by whatever history, the Yankees are going to hurt Greinke a little bit.
Otherwise, it's over.
And then this thing gets depth, and then all of a sudden they're sitting here for a week.
I know,
week and a half.
I know. Ack, maybe you could help us out with this. Who do you think the Nats? We're going to get an update here. Come back to inbounds, out of bounds. But I'm curious. Who do you think the Nats asked to throw out their first pitch, the first pitch at the home game, at their home opener? Which direction do they go? Because Zimmerman's on the team, so you wouldn't go to your all-time great player.
Yeah. I had
somebody. The Senators are obviously.
Yeah, they're not around.
It's a long time ago.
I had somebody this morning, because we were talking about it in the newsroom earlier today. I guess you could go somebody Washington, just a Washington person.
Like a John Wall, like
I wouldn't see John Wall.
Washington, me neither. Washington
Who's,
Capital.
I can't Ovechkin? Remember. I can't. Ovechkin's already done it though.
Mm. I know. I got
how about
one.
Elena Deladon.
He's got one. Who you got?
I got one.
Who you got?
Elena Deladon.
Bryce Harper.
There you go.
Imagine that. That's a tough call because their history is short.
Yeah.
You know.
I like Elena Deladon though.
Yeah, it's fine.
Coming off a WNBA championship just a couple of weeks ago.
I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't incredibly move
right,
me.
I
mean,
saying.
You want me to say
Who's,
yes, so
I'm
it sounds
to,
good. That
I'm
doesn't
just,
really
just,
move
I,
me.
I don't know her.
It's going to be a great accomplishment, and she played so well.
I'm just trying to think. I can't remember who their first manager was in D.C.
Oh, God. Wasn't they Frank Robinson?
Well, we can't have him.
Frank passed away.
Yeah.
You bring back Davey Johnson? Nah, you wouldn't do that.
Nah.
That doesn't make any sense.
You could.
Who's that like? Jim Riggleman? Nah.
You could go back.
And you can't go politician. It's too divisive right now.
You definitely can't go politician.
If you wanted to give a nod to
Dusty
the
Baker.
Expos.
Oh, that's a good one, Sam.
Dusty Baker?
You could go.
Except
go
he might get the managerial job in
conflict
Philly.
Of interest. He's going to be on the Phillies.
You could give a nod to the Expos organization and go
like
Tim
Andre
Raines,
Dawson, Tim Raines, Al Oliver, somebody like that. That's a tough call.
Did their history come with them?
Yes, it
yeah.
did.
Well,
it
then,
did.
Then that's a,
it absolutely
that's a
did.
Good call, then.
But that history means nothing to D.C.
It does. I mean,
you
but,
could, yeah, you could pack up the history from Olympic Stadium. Yes, we brought our history from Montreal. Fans in D.C. don't care.
Or you can go Doug Williams.
You want to do something with the Redskins? That's interesting.
You know,
that's
Bowl
not a bad.
MVP.
You know, that's not a bad call.
Thank you.
That is a good one.
Jay Gruden. Jay's got a little time on his hands.
Joe Gibbs.
Jay Gruden and his bong.
Joe Gibbs.
All right.
Joe Gibbs, oh man, they love him down there.
I hear you. All right, just curious. Ack's update is right now, inbounds, out of bounds, right after that. Here's Ack. Sunday, the NFL on CBS heads to Lambeau Field. Gotta love it. Packers taking on the Raiders, coming off that win in London against the Chicago Bears. So the Raiders got a little look to them now, plus a key AFC South battle between the Texans and the Colts. Colts are off the bye. Well-rested Texans coming off a nice win. Good slate on CBS coming up this weekend. It all begins JB and the guys getting you ready for all the action on the NFL today, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here, SiriusXM 206. On Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. You ready for a little inbounds and out of bounds there, Tiki? You feeling good?
I am.
You
let's
feeling
go.
It?
Let's
you good?
Do it.
Did you get your answers into Samta?
I did.
All right, let's go. Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With T. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. We start the NFL. The Duck is going to take a seat at least for a little bit here. Mercifully, as expected, the Titans, they bench former Oregon Heisman Trophy winner star Marcus Mariota, and instead will start Ryan Tannehill, quarterback this week against the Chargers. Now, Mariota 30th in passing yards per game, 30th, 18th in touchdowns, 21st in quarterback rating, while the Titans sit at 28th in points scored. And really, with their personnel, I'm not saying they should average 40, but that's a colossal underachievement. That's unacceptable. Hence the change. Tannehill, on the other hand, hasn't started since last year, but he did average just 162 yards passing in his final 8 starts for the Dolphins. So is it really an upgrade, or just trying to mix the bag up for mixing up the bag's sake? In or out, the Titans should give Tannehill at least 3 starts before going back to Mariota, even if he struggles.
I'm going to say inbounds to this, but I easily could have gone out of bounds, BT, because it doesn't really matter. The Tennessee Titans need to be in the process of finding who their future quarterback is, their franchise quarterback, to take them into the next generation of this team, because it's not Marcus Mariota, whether it's because he's been coached to be too safe or he's just not the guy. It's one thing or the other. It's uninspiring. And I don't think they can commit to him post his fifth-year option and give him $20-something million a year. And clearly Ryan Tannehill's not the guy. Good backup, but whatever. This is either or for me. I just went inbounds because I know you went out.
Appreciate the diversity there, pal. Nicely done. Out of bounds, Tiki. Yeah, listen, we told you this was coming. There's a reason why you bring Ryan Tannehill in there,
mm-hmm.
and it's to stop the hemorrhage right now. I mean, the season's really getting away from him. Think about how starkly different things are. They smashed the Browns. They scored 40 points in week 1. And now they are they are a lifeless offense here. Listen, yeah, Ryan Tannehill is obviously not the future of the Tennessee Titans, nor is Marcus Mariota. I say out of bounds for this reason, though, because you have to give him a fair sample size, sure, because he might be better than Mariota, but say if he doesn't grasp the offense, say if he doesn't whatever. I can't be married to a definitive window of time if he's worse.
Yeah, true.
I mean, it's not completely inconceivable that he's worse. Now, it will be hard to be worse or to even be close because they just don't score. I've always thought Ryan Tannehill is a little bit better than people give him credit for. I don't think this is a season-altering move, but at least temporarily it could be a season-saving move. So I'll say out of bounds, but I, too, could have gone the other way.
Are you in or are you out?
LeBron James, torched by fans and media alike, figuratively and literally. Jerseys are burning after his comments about China on Monday. So while he was lambasted verbally on talk shows all day, fans in Hong Kong actually burned his jersey in the street today. LeBron responded to the criticism about his comments.
I mean, it's a tough situation that we're all in right now. You know, when an issue comes up, if you feel passionate about it or you feel like it's something you want to talk about, then so be it. I also don't think that every issue should be everybody's problem as well. You know, so there's issues all over the world. I think the best thing we can do is, you know, if you feel passionate about it, talk about it. If you don't have a lot of knowledge about it or you don't quite understand it, I don't think you should talk about it. Because it just puts you in a tough position.
Yeah, thank God this is the last time he's going to talk about this because I'm getting tired of hearing him walk in verbal circles. He's saying absolutely nothing. Inbounds or out of bounds? Take LeBron's follow-up comments. Do change your feelings about his initial comments.
Out of bounds, BT, because I felt like that was his stance anyways. He was just trying to be a bridge. He was trying to put a Band-Aid on this and try to give perspective, an empathetic perspective, from all parties, including the players and the league at large and the Chinese citizens who took so much offense to Daryl Morey's tweet. He just said basically what I knew he was trying to say anyway. So mm-hmm. out of bounds. I felt like this yesterday.
You know, I do agree the use of the word bridge. He is trying to build a bridge. The difference, I think, how you and I see it, he's trying to build a bridge from a couple of $100 million in one bank account mm-hmm. of his own to a couple of $100 million in another bank account because he's obviously trying to preserve his relationship with the people of China because there's a lot of people there and they buy a lot of Nike sneakers and they see movies as well. Out of bounds, you know... It's a money grab. I don't need to reiterate my position from yesterday. He's punting on this, which is completely inconsistent in what he's done in terms of our politics and a willingness to to weigh in on a lot of important issues. The one thing, he could have said this, and this is how, if you don't believe it's a money grab, this is why I'm going to really respectfully believe that you're wrong, whomever that person might be. All he had to say once was, you know what, guys, something like this. I'm not equipped to speak on this world matter. I don't want to. I don't necessarily know exactly fundamentally what's going on in China, whatever. But I certainly do not agree with how they treat their people. All he had to do was, on one level, denounce what China stands for. I don't mean, go full throttle and take the flamethrower. Just let us know that you're not just trying to sell sneakers. And when you don't, and he didn't do it the other day either, when you don't mention what they do, which is so heinously wrong, it's a money grab. And nobody's changing my mind on that.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Zeke, speaking of his team, the Angels, the Los Angeles Angels, they've hired a new skipper, Joe Maddon, here. Joe Maddon got the job. Now you're going to start seeing all these dominoes fall because now one person gets the job. Here we go. And he might have to deal with some fallout from the Tyler Skaggs investigation. This is not good. After a media relations employee spoke with the feds here, admitting he has supplied drugs to Skaggs, even informed other teams, the officials, about Skaggs' drug use here, the leak had come down hard on the team. Some reports say baseball could fine the Angels $2 million for failure to report the drug use. Inbounds or out of bounds, if found the team officials did know about Skaggs' drug use, a $2 million fine is a sufficient punishment for the Angels.
I mean, out of bounds. No, it's not. But there is no number that I think is sufficient here. The question I have, though, is why is a media relations employee, the one that's supplying a player, which gives some credence to the idea that the medical staff of the Angels actually was controlling this the right way with Tyler Skaggs, and maybe we're aware of it. It's confusing, and this admission. And I get it. You have to come clean with these type of things, but it just seems to be an odd chain of command with substances from non-physicians to players.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Unless you're doing drugs with the player, and that's apparently what he told the the FBI during his test.
Where's he getting it? I mean?
I don't know. I have no idea. It's so sad. I mean, here we are. A young life is lost, and that it doesn't even matter at this point. Where'd he get it? Who cares? Tyler Skaggs is no longer with us. I say out of bounds to this. That's easy. I mean, $2 million, please. Artie Moreno's his net worth is $3.3 billion. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing tangible money-wise. I don't care if it's, this is going to sound crazy, even if they docked him $20 million or $50 million, it doesn't matter. You've got to punish them in a way that is more putative to their team. Because money does not matter to Artie Moreno because he's got a ton of it.
Yeah, but
whether it's draft picks, I don't know.
But does that even matter? It's not bringing Tyler Skaggs back.
No, of course not. But clearly.
Yeah.
But you have to do something. You have to do something. So to me, the money, it would be like a little flea on a dog on a 125-pound Rottweiler, whatever. But if it's draft-related or free agent related or something, again, more punitive to their ability to construct a roster, that, I believe, would be probably more commensurate with not the crime, but the multiple indiscretions that
I still don't see how that does anything.
Want to do anything? You got to do something. What do you want to do?
I don't know. We're rushing to judgment to penalize when this is a tragedy that needs to be addressed on a deeper level. If that makes sense.
Well, true. But again, the way Santa phrased it, if found that the team officials did know. So we're taking a leap forward for sure, admittedly. But the way Mike constructed the question, we're assuming that they do know. If they know. If they don't know, then that changes the answer. And it changes the whole complexion of the question. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney. We have a good football player coming up next on a good team, by the way. The Texans, 4 wins, starting to get a little separation, that muddled AFC South. Whitney Merciless joins us. This will be good. They're taking a step. Texans look like they're learning how to win. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.